Well, I ask for your prayers. Need the Lord to bless His Word. Scripture tells us there is a spirit in man. It makes us different from the animal kingdom. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. You know, without the Spirit of God, none of us have understanding or light. Our souls will be dark. Our understanding will be dark. But the Lord's desire is that we walk in light. We be able to have understanding. And so it's our prayer this morning the Lord would bless and anoint His Word to every one of our understanding. Appreciate the Lord. I'm thankful for His faithfulness. I'm thankful that we can know, though we don't know always what He's doing, we can know, as the song said, that He doeth all things well. I'd like to begin in the 17th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 17, I'd like to read the 17th verse. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Thinking a little bit about friends, specifically about the friendship of God, I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for those that a friend is one in time of need. Sometimes they say when you get into trouble, you get into a real need or a time of hardship, that's when you find out who your real friends are. Because the Scripture says, you can read here just a couple chapters down, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Many will entreat the favor of a prince, in the 6th verse, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. Now you see here a contrast of what the idea of the friendship of the world is. You go, if somebody were to go and win the lottery, guess what? You've got as many friends as you want. You have wealth, or you have, if you're the man in the neighborhood that has the boat, guess what you get around summertime? You get a lot of friends. You're the one that has the pool in the community, guess what? You're the friend of all the neighborhood children until it comes time to clean the pool, or until it comes time. You see, the friendship of the world is really self-serving. It's self-gratifying. I'll give, Jesus spoke in exhortation, instruction unto us. He said, if you give as the Pharisees do, or as the publicans do, they give unto others expecting to receive the same. They will invite someone for dinner, put it in my words, expecting for that favor to be returned. I give my friendship. I give of myself to you with the understanding or the expectation there's something in it for me to be able to benefit. Wealth maketh many friends, but whenever that is gone, whenever I have nothing to offer, that's what shows where true friendship is. The poor is separated from his neighbor. Says he pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. Where are my friends when I'm in time of need? But I want to look here at the 18th chapter. The 24th verse says, a man that hath friends must shew himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Aren't you thankful this morning that we have a friend? Aren't you thankful that we have one in whatever our circumstance, our time of need is? We have a friend. We have one not only when we have something to offer him, not only whenever we have our own goodness or our own righteousness. Lord, look what I have to give you. Folks, this is a very lopsided relationship, if I can say it that way. What the Lord gets in return is so little compared to what He gives to us. But the Lord is a friend to us. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Believe one scripture says a brother is made for adversity. A brother is made for it whenever I'm in need, whenever I'm in trouble. Scripture says that peradventure for a good man, some may even die But God, Christ, when we were yet sinners, whenever we came empty-handed and all we had to offer Him was ridicule and scorn and smiting and mockery, yet He came and He gave Himself for us, showing the greatest friendship that He could show. There's no greater love, Jesus said, than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. What more could I do to prove it to you? What greater length or extent could I go to demonstrate the love that I have for you than that I give my life, lay down the thing that is most precious to many people, my life, and I give it and I sacrifice it selflessly for you. And so, this morning we have a friend. In our battles, in our struggles, in our times of need, whenever we feel all alone, whenever the world would forsake us, and whenever friends would laugh at us or think that maybe there's nothing they can do to help us, there's one that sticketh closer than a brother, that abides and remains with us, not only when times are good, but He is a God that is a God not only of the mountain, but a God of the valley, God of the day and a God of the night. He abides with us. I'd like to look at the 15th chapter of the book of John. John 15. Scripture we referenced in the 13th verse, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it unto you. The relationship that I desire to have with you, it's not just yes, and He acknowledged in the washing of feet that you have called me Master, and well, for so I am. But yet it was a relationship that He wanted to go beyond that. I want to be able to call you my friend. I want to be able to talk with you. And it says of Moses that God came down and met Moses, and that He spoke with him face to face, as a man speaketh with his friend. Oh, I want to be able to have that relationship with the Lord. And every one of us can have that. That we can be a friend of God. You remember what Abraham was known as? He was known as the friend of God. You can read it in James, the second chapter, the 23rd verse. Abraham was known as the friend of God. He believed God. He believed His word. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was known as the friend of God. What a great honor. What a great privilege to be able to be called the friend of God. Some people would consider it an honor to meet the president. Some family of ours in Oklahoma recently, a presidential candidate was coming through and they were able to go and meet him and have their child's picture taken with the candidate holding thought that's pretty neat. Could become the next president and have this picture to show as a young child you were held by the president, by somebody of honor and of position. But you know that pales in comparison to be able to say, I know the Lord, the Creator, the Maker of the ends of the earth, the universe. I know the One that spoke all this into existence. Not only do I know Him, not only am I acquainted with Him or I've heard Him, as Job said, I've heard Him by the hearing of the ears, but now my eyes have seen Him. I know Him. I know what He looks like. I know how He speaks. I know the things that He loves. I know the things that He hates. I know the thoughts that He has, because it's revealed unto me. He is my friend. So I want to think about what that means this morning. You know, we can take great encouragement, and so we should, to know that the Lord is our friend. The Lord wants to extend His hand of friendship to every one of us. Are there any of us that can say, I don't need it? I don't need your friendship. I don't need a friend in my times of need. Whenever my heart is so heavy, whenever I can't speak for the tears that are coming down, sometimes a friend is one that doesn't even have to say a word. I can just be there, maybe just put my arms around them, and I know they understand. I know that they're there for me. Lord, I need a friend. My friends, I consider you friends, and I'm thankful for every one of you, but you can't go with me night and day. You're not able to be with me in every walk and circumstance of life. But there is one that sticks closer than even the natural bonds of brotherhood and friendship. I find great courage and strength in that. But I'd like to look at another aspect this morning of friendship. 27th chapter of Proverbs. The 6th verse. Let's begin with the 5th. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I can think of a friend and think that word wounds doesn't fit. A friend is one that's going to give to me, that's going to tell me the things that I like to hear. And I've known those that I've observed even in my short life that I've looked and they've had serious needs in their life. They've had some serious problems that they needed to deal with, that they needed to be able to conquer in their own lives. You know, the ones that are willing to approach them, the ones that are willing to say, can I help you with this? And I want to understand, I don't believe this is advocating. Well, you know what? They just need to hear it. It's the truth, so they need to hear it. It doesn't matter if they understand I'm their friend. But you know, this is where true love is. I can look as the world would look on friendship and say, if you're my friend, you'll tell me I'm okay. If you're my friend, you're going to give me love. You're going to give me love in a way that makes me feel good about myself. And I've looked at some of these individuals, those that have had, maybe that are closest to them, that have occasion to interact with them in life, that have tried to talk with them and work with them and show them, here's something that you need to see. The problem maybe isn't over here. The problem's not the other person. This problem you just brought to me, I want to show you something. Will you take it from me? Will you hear there's a problem here you need to see in your own life? Consider this part. Consider the way that you're looking at this. And I've seen them turn on people like that. I don't want it. I don't want to hear it. If you loved me, if you're my friend, you wouldn't talk to me that way. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, though. The wounds that are inflicted out of love, not out of a malice, not out of a heart of I'm going to cut through you, I'm going to injure you by my words. But do you know that's the love of God towards us? Remember what Jesus said, if you were a servant, I wouldn't tell you everything. But because I've called you friends, I'm going to tell you everything the Father has spoken to me. Everything that He's given me. Every word that He's committed to me. I'm going to share it with you. Did Jesus hold back at times whenever He thought, they're not going to like this. They're not going to take this very well. I want to be able to maintain the friendship that we have. I don't want to tread that way. Folks, we have to realize that because of the love of the Lord, because of the friendship that He has for us, He's going to be willing to wound. The 5th chapter of Job. Job chapter 5, the 17th verse. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. Don't despise. And I believe it's the 12th chapter of Hebrews that reflects the same thought. Whenever whom the Father loveth, the Son that the Father loveth, he chastens. I can look at it as a child and I remember the times of I knew I was in trouble. And all I'd think about it and I would think of the punishment that was coming up and I dreaded it and I didn't understand when Dad said, Clint, I love you. I want you to know I love you and it's why I'm doing this. It's hard for a child to understand, yeah, sure you do. Yeah, sure, you're going to really manifest that here in a minute. I hear the words that you say, but I'm getting ready to feel the actions that you're going to inflict on me. That really feels like love. Many of you know that's a childish mindset. Lord, help us that we not have the same mindset towards the Lord. That whenever the Lord brings things in my life to show me Clint, to show me who I am, to show me those things about myself, that I accept it. And say, Lord, thank you. Lord, it's because of your great love. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He corrects. He shows the real manner, the real spirit, the real attitude. You're the one at fault here. You're the one. You need to work on your attitudes here. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you because of your love for me. You're allowing me to see these things. I don't want my friends to be the ones that I have a big stain on my shirt and I'm getting ready to get up and they don't say anything about it. Or something that I can take care of. Go ahead and embarrass me. Go ahead and I'd rather you embarrass me and you deal with me and me be able to take care of the problem than to go on oblivious to the problem in my own life. But so many people say, I don't want a friend like that. And I've seen them surround themselves. You ever notice this? People surrounding themselves with people that are just like them. People go and find somebody else that'll be able to empathize with them. That'll be able to put their arms around them. Oh, I know my wife's the same way. I know I can sympathize with you. It'll be all right. We just got to endure it. I got a doghouse too. Be able to, instead of really being able to get down to the root of a matter, there's a problem here you need to work through. Don't worry about the other person. Worry about yourself. That's where a true friend is. Not one that's willing to just cover up and obscure the real needs that we have. Happy is a man because when the Lord cuts, the cut is needed. Remember a minister talking about, if you'll pardon the crude analogy, talking about, what do you call it, an infected toenail. You get an overgrown toenail, not remembering, an abscess, whatever it's called. And it was talking about how painful it is. And you put your sock on and it's so painful. One of his children got these one time. Developed on his foot and it was so painful and in tears and crying. And especially you bump it against something and just excruciating pain. And he said, son, there's one way for me to help you. Bring me the pliers. Dad, no! Stay away from me. I don't want that, Dad. It's painful. I don't want to think about that, son. I want to help you. I don't want you to have to continue like this. We got to get down and deal with the root of the problem. I can't just wrap it up. I can't just cover it up and act like it's not there. Son, we need to take care of the infection that's underneath. You know, that's where the Lord wants to get with every one of us. Not just to deal with the surface. Not just to try to make me feel better. May we never think that when I come to service, the Lord's only desire is to just lift me up, encourage me, make me feel good about myself. But it says when the Lord smites, He also heals. Whenever the Lord says it's time for the toenail to come off, it's time for the thing that you've got covering it up, there's one way to deal with it. It's going to hurt. But I love you. I love you enough to say, I'm willing to see you go through the pain for a little bit because I know the healing that I'll be able to bring to you afterwards. I don't want to run away from that. I don't want to run away from that and call child services and say, get me away from this man. I want somebody that loves me. Do I have a heart that says, Lord, deal with me. Lord, expose who I am. Whatever it is, whatever place that needs healing with me, Lord, I'm willing to get my eyes off of others or other things or hurts or offenses that I'd hold on to. Lord, would you get through to the very root of the matter? Lord, if you need to pull some things off, if you need to cut against the flesh, you need to do some circumcising of the heart. Lord, I'm willing for you to do that. I'm willing for you to pull the knife out. I know the one in whom I have believed. I know the one that I'm friends with. What did the Lord say to His people that were about to be led captive? Lord, why would you do this? Why would you lead us into captivity? A God that loves us. You ever have the devil try to bring just a seed of doubt? If the Lord loved you, why would He allow this to happen? The Lord loved you, why would He allow you to go through this? Oh God, if you love us, why are you allowing us to be taken captive? But He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I know my heart towards you. I know the thoughts. They're thoughts of good and not of evil. To bring you to an expected end. I'm able to see beyond right now. I'm able to see beyond your feelings today. The hardship that you face today, to the place that I want to bring you to, there's an expected end. I know what I want this vessel to look like, and I'm trying to mold you into that image. It is the mercy of the Lord. I believe David said one place, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But it was because of the Lord's mercy that he saw, I need something here. I need to get a hold of you here. I need to wake you up over here. It's going to require some hardship, some pain, some difficulty to bring you face to face in the mirror of my word with the true image of who you are. Use the analogy before. You ever go to some of these places that have maybe a carnival mirrors? You go to a children's museum or something. Now I have those mirrors that you stand in front of that are curved. Some of them make you look fat. Make me look fat. Those are the real mirrors. There are some mirrors that are curved that make me look fatter. I don't stay in front of those very long. But there are other mirrors that are curved the other way that make me look how I really wanted to look. They make me look the way that I'd like to think others are seeing when they look on me. That's the one that I like to stand in front of. Boy, that looks pretty nice. I like that. I think I'm going to stand in front of this mirror for a while. You know, people do the same thing. How dare you suggest? How dare you put me in front of a mirror that shows me looking like that? But the Lord is faithful to every one of us to show us who we are. If we'll be of a heart and a mind to receive it. Folks, this is what we're talking about this morning is the friendship of God. It is the love and the friendship that the Lord extends to every one of us. 141st chapter of Psalms. Psalms 141, the fourth verse. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Let me not eat of their dainties. You know, the world is it's a world of flattery. If you'll join the system, if you'll become one of them, it's a world of flattery. Telling you what you want to hear. The kisses of an enemy, we read in the scripture, they're deceitful. it approaches in such a way to try to maintain a friendship, to try to make you feel good about who you are, that is deceitful. Lord, incline not my heart in the way of wickedness. But it says here, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Lord, I realize, I'm starting to get a picture now that in your dealings, in your righteousness, in your mercy, your merciful judgments, Lord, that there are a kindness unto me. It is a friendship that's extended to me. Remember the rich young ruler that came running to Jesus in one of the accounts of the gospel. He came running to him and he asked him a question, knowing, I believe, in his mind, this man has an authority. There's something to hear in the words that he says or in the testimony of who he is. Master, I lack something. There's something that's not right here. There's something that's just not fulfilled here. What is it? And he dealt with him. What is it that you read in the law? And he went through that and he had done all those things. And it says, and Jesus, remember what it said that Jesus felt towards him? Not Jesus hating him. Jesus feeling contempt towards him. Said, I'll just go sell everything you have. But it says, Jesus looking on him, loved him. And because of that love, because he felt a love in his heart, you know what he was going to speak to him? I can't just pat you on the back. I can't just tell you you're okay. You've done the things of the law. Oh, you're such a good man. You're such a good person. And go through all the motions there and see him walk away with a smile on his face and think, I've made a friend. But instead, my friendship towards you, my love to you, demands of me to tell you the truth. To tell you what it is. This is the thing that was most painful for him. Was because God loved him. Was because he was showing him this is the answer. This is the thing that you need to hear. 7th chapter of John. John 7, verse 6, Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. You know, it's the same mindset that Jesus had here. I testify of the world that their deeds are evil. All Pharisees and the ones that I'm speaking to that have such a high opinion of themselves. You know, Jesus could look on, and we hear said, and I believe in many ways it's a good principle, find the good in a person. You look for the good in every individual. I believe there's some wisdom to that. But you know, when it came to their eternal soul, Jesus didn't just go and point out, you have a really good knowledge of the law. You have a very great zeal for living for God, or for fulfilling the requirements of the law. But instead, he went to the very things that were under or inside the cup, to the very inside of the heart. The things that, if they would have had a heart, that I pray the Lord will have us, help us to have. It says, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Lord, whatever it is that you speak to me, whatever your requirement is, Lord, give me the grace to measure to it. Give me the grace to accept the things that you have to say. But he spoke to his disciples in another place. And he said, except you eat of my flesh and you drink of my blood, you won't have any part in me. You know, there's wisdom for us to use as ministers, as saints in preaching the Word of God, in sharing the gospel. I remember sometimes as a child with so little understanding, children on the playground would ask me, what church do you go to? What do you believe? And it was so easy for me to just go down a list of things I could think of that were different than what I knew they believed. Well, we wear this, we go here, we don't do that, we don't drink this. And I just laid it right out. Well, it was the truth. But there's wisdom in the way we approach it. Lord, help me to show them the beauty of salvation. You know, there's a wisdom in how we present the truth. But it must never come at the expense of truth. It must never come at the expense of the place that I try to walk so lightly that I can never speak the truth of God in love. Jesus here could have, surely, Jesus could have found some different language to use here that wouldn't have been quite so blunt or quite so offensive. Jesus knew the hearts of those that were with Him. Surely He knew that they were weak and needed to be coddled a little bit and encouraged, but Jesus, knowing their hearts, knew exactly what they needed, and He spoke the truth. Because of the love that He had for them, and many looked on that and said, it's a hard saying. You know, the things that the Lord requires of us are hard on the flesh. They're going to be hard on the flesh. If I'm walking after the flesh is going to recoil against it. Taking up the cross and dying daily is not something the flesh is going to jump up and down over. It requires a death, a crucifixion. But except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. The Lord doesn't want us to abide alone. He doesn't want us to be barren and desolate. He wants to bring us to those places in our lives to show us, Clint, here's a place you need to die. Here's a place you need to crucify the flesh. Here's a place where you've got some pride that you need to humble yourself. Fall down into the ground. Make yourself of nothing. Die. You've got a conflict here? Don't worry about the other person. You get down on your face and die. And I'll cause from that to spring forth fruit in abundance. But it's going to require a death. It's going to require being like the woman. I hope you understand this morning my burden. That my heart is like the woman that came to Jesus and said, let me eat of the bread. He said, don't you know it's not for you? It's for the children. It's not meat for the dogs to eat of that which is the children's bread. She could have so easily said, forget you. I can go to another prophet. I can go to a scribe that'll tell me something much different than that. But instead she said, yea, Lord. Lord, help us so that be our reaction to His word. Yea, Lord. Lord, if it cuts, if it's hard, if it's a hard saying, yea, Lord. Yes, Lord, help me to be able to accept it. Whenever the Lord cuts, He heals. Whenever He smites, He binds up. Whenever the Lord brings me to something that's difficult, the Lord gives me the grace to be able to accept it, to be able to measure to it, to be able to die in that place that the Lord wants me to die. But the disciples weren't there. Many of them, it said, turned from Him and walked no more with Him. We can't take it. We're not willing. Many, many people come to a place in their experience with the Lord. Many people will come to a place and they say, no further. I'm not willing to go any further. I'm not willing to go anymore. Jesus didn't back off, did He? He didn't say, okay, hold on. All right, let's make a deal here. Let's compromise. Let's come to an agreement where you'll feel comfortable and I'll still be happy. The truth is the truth. I don't want the mirror that makes me feel good about myself. Lord, help me to see it like it is and then deal with what I see. But instead, they were offended and they walked off. Lord, help me to never come to a place. Is there a place? Lord, is there a place in my life that I would draw back? That I wouldn't be willing to go all the way to what You require of me? Jesus turned to the disciples that were left, said, will you go away also? Choice is yours. I'm not going to hold you bound with chains. I'm not going to try to confine you. You know what the temptation would be for us as a church of God? It's the temptation that many false religions, false Christianity, however you want to call it, have fallen prey to. And there's a place that people aren't willing to measure up to. There's a place that I realize that's a very unpopular teaching. That's not going to sit well. You know what? We've got a choice to make. I can leave that out. I can maybe even say, you know, I know it's still essential, but I don't have to preach it, teach it. Surely we can just kind of, maybe they'll find it on their own. We don't have to give the whole word. Let's give those things that are palatable. Let's give those things that are encouraging and uplifting. You don't want to give somebody something that's going to make them leave feeling like, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I need to be. Do I not? If it's the word of the Lord, folks, it's not for us to say that person over there needs this, take that. You need that, take that. Take this. I mean, you know, if we're willing to stand by the whole Word of God, the Holy Spirit is able to know exactly where I stand, exactly what I need. I may not even have any idea what your need, and you may not have mine, but the Holy Spirit knows and is faithful to bring me to a place and an understanding. I require this of you. I want you to measure to this place in your life. Lord, help me to say as Peter did in response, Lord, where else would I go? What else would I do? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, I can't go anywhere else. It's a hard saying, yes. The flesh recoils against it. But what are my alternatives? Lord, I don't want anything else. I don't want anything artificial. I don't want anything superficial. I don't want something that people will still be able to just keep it down to a certain level. Keep it watered down. I was trying to play chess with someone recently. Was staying at their house. They said, hey, Clint, how about a game of chess? I said, I haven't played in a long time. But I'll try. I enjoy playing chess. The first game, I was just obliterated. No hope. This person I was playing with was much better than I was. I said, well, I can't end it like that. Let's play one more game. And I was at least able to have some offenses and counter moves and all. And it at least took him a few more minutes to beat me. You know, he told me at the end of that, we're pretty close being able to talk. He said, you know, I have to be careful. Because I play someone like you. And he said, I get careless. I begin to move and play sloppy-like. I don't play my very best because I know you may not know that move. You may not see this opportunity. So I don't have to play my best. You know what's easy for the flesh? It's to say I want to associate myself with people that make me feel good about myself. I'd really rather play with somebody that can make me feel like I'm quite a chess player. I can play my sons maybe and play him and say, boy, I tell you what, I've really mastered this game. I've really got this one down. No, I don't think I want to play you. You make me feel bad. That's offensive to me. I don't like to be beat. We live in a world that says give everybody a trophy. Let everybody have a participation award. We don't want you to feel bad because you couldn't get there. Folks, Christianity, so-called, is doing the same thing to many people today. We want you to feel good where you are. We want you to feel good in your experience. Folks, again, it's not up to us to say here's where you are in your experience. But it's also not for us to say, let's water it down in case somebody that's not there gets offended by it. Lord, help us to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Lord, help me to measure to it. First of all, Lord, help me to make sure I'm there. Lord, help me not to shirk away from it, to just give it out in its entirety. You know, I could be offended by a brother that has greater faith than I. I could look at the faith that that brother has and the way that he's conducting himself, and it can make me feel reproved by my lack of faith. You understand what I'm saying? I can look at that and say, that brother is offensive to me. Maybe he didn't even say a word to me. But I know what he's probably thinking about me. Yep, I know what he's thinking. I know where he is with the Lord. And he knows that I'm not there. And he's thinking this about me. And he's thinking that about me. Lord, help us that that not be our spirit and our heart or our mindset to any individual. But Lord, help me. If I see somebody else that's further along, oh, brother, don't lower your standards. Brother, don't water down what you have. Pray for me that I get there as well. Pray for me that I be able to get to that level. You see, I don't want to just surround myself with people that'll make me feel good about who I am. Let's move on. Looking at a scripture in 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. Bear with us just a little longer. 1 Kings 22. Won't read all of this, but this is the story of Ahab, Jehoshaphat, and their debate about whether they go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle. Jehoshaphat wanted King of Israel said in the third verse, "Know ye not that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of Syria, the hand of the king of Syria?" And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead?" Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses." Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord besides, that we may inquire of him?" And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." You get the picture here of what's happening? Ahab wants something. Ahab wants to be able to go up against to battle. And Jehoshaphat said, "Hold on. Let's inquire of the Lord. Let's see if the Lord is in this thing." So he went to those that he had surrounded himself with. You can read down further where they go and summon Micaiah. And the messenger told him, "Make sure you say this to the king. Make sure you don't prophesy anything but good to the king. Because that's all he wants to hear. That's the only thing he wants to hear." You think these 400 prophets didn't know that? Of course they did. That's why they were the prophets. That's why they had survived that long. They hadn't had their head taken off that long. Because they spoke that which they knew the king wanted to hear. What a thing is that? What kind of truth is that? I want to hear whether I should do this or not. Why would you even have 400 prophets then? If you're going to do the thing that you want to do anyway, why don't you just go do it? You know, he wanted to be able to feel some justification. You know what? These men are prophets. They backed me up in what I said, that in a multitude of counselors, their safety. But there came a man. And he disregarded all of that and he said, "I'll speak the truth unto him." And it was a painful truth. It wasn't what he wanted to hear. He said, "I hate him." What a reaction is that? But it's not an uncommon one. People hate the truth. Jesus said there in the scripture that we read that the world hates you not, but me it hates because I reprove them for their deeds are evil. Yet you can read another place that Jesus spoke to them, that if you were of the world would love you. Because the world loveth his own. But because you're not of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The world hates you because you're not part of them. Your deeds reprove their actions. What was Herod's response to John the Baptist? You know what John the Baptist spoke to him was truth? And it was mercy unto his soul. If you would have heard the words that I speak to you, it would have been the means of your salvation. But instead, his wife at least, said, "Off with his head. I don't want to hear it. Off with his head. The world is going to hate you. The world is going to despise us. If we stand true and faithful, why is it? Because they despise the Word of God. And the world, many people, they want to do what they want to do. They want to go their own way. But instead of just going their own way, do you know what they do? They go to a church that has Christianity, that has a cross over the building. They go unto a preacher that knows what they want to hear, that'll preach a level of salvation that is where they're at and not where they ought to be. You're going to remain in your sins. You're going to remain here. You can't rise above this. This is the way, and I go out of that feeling good about myself. You told me just what I wanted to hear. I'm going to a place that I feel comfortable with. I feel comfortable there. The Lord doesn't want us to be comfortable. The Lord doesn't want us to get into a place that I hear only the things I want to hear. That makes me feel good about who I am. No, Lord, show me those things about myself that I don't want to see, that are hard for me to see. We have a congressman here in Ohio that helped author the Defense of Marriage Act in the 90s. He was one of the ones that co-sponsored this bill that defined marriage. In the eyes of the country, it mirrored what marriage is in the Bible, between a man and a woman. But in the last few years, he came out and he changed his position. You know why? Because his son, I believe it was, came out and said, "Dad, I'm that way. Dad, I'm a homosexual." And he said because of that, he got to thinking about it and considering it, and he changed his mind. Was it truth or wasn't it? Was it right or was it not? Is it the truth or is it not? But that's the mentality of the world today. See, if only you knew somebody like this, if only you had this happen to you, you wouldn't feel about it the way that you do. It's not about hatred towards those people. It's about love for them. But love is going to say, repent, turn from your wicked ways. That is love to this world. If any nation, which is called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and call upon me, then I'll have mercy. But do you know what our country likes to hear instead? Our best days are ahead. Our best days are before us. And great swelling words of encouragement and, oh, this is great. Let's go take our future. No, the truth of the matter is, America, you need to be on your knees repenting before Almighty God. That is love. You have a love for America, that's where the love is. You have a love for souls, it's to say, here's sin in your life. Deal with that sin before you get to the judgment and deal with it. That is the love of a true friend. But all this world says, I don't want to hear it. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, speaks of those, the time will come that they shall not endure sound doctrine. But they'll after their own lust, see? They speak about, well, if you had this in your family, or if you had this in your life, you'd be more sympathetic to it. That's because that's the way they're used to thinking and looking at things. I can't condemn sin because there's sin in my own life. I can't judge somebody else because their actions or their sin because of what I'm participating in. But oh, if the Lord would help us, that I measure to the entirety of the Word of God, that I not be in a position that because of my own lust, my own desire, this thing over here I'm trying to hold on to, that I heap unto myself teachers like Ahab did. I'll surround myself with friends. I isolate the family maybe that speaks anything contrary, and I'll surround myself with those that'll say, this is okay. This is all right. You're okay like this. Oh, God wants you to be happy. God wants you. God loves you. God wants you in your situation of life. He knows that we're all messed up sinners, and He loves you anyway. Yes, the Lord loves us. And that's why He's willing to speak the truth unto us. Because of that, because they have not a love for the truth, God would turn them over to delusion. Turn with me to the 11th chapter of Luke, if you would. Luke 11. 39th verse, "Now the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." You know, that still applies to those today that would hold to the letter of the law. That would hold, I measure to this doctrine and this doctrine and this doctrine, as you ought to as well, with a cruel spirit and animosity and deep issues in their own heart and life. Perhaps we've seen it before. Perhaps there have been those that have seen. Then it turns people off from the truth. These ought you to have done. Take care of yourself first. Take care of what's in your own heart. You that judge another, do you not judge your own self? Do you not judge yourself by the same standards? But it's easy to look on somebody else and see the problem in them and not see the very same problem in my own self. You ought to have done those things and not to have left the other undone. "Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the market." You know what he's saying here by greetings in the market? It's not, "Hello, Brother Jonas. Hello, Brother Matthias. Oh, Rabbi." It was great titles of honor that they gave unto one another. Jesus said in another place, I believe the 5th chapter of John, that ye are they which seek honor that cometh from one another and not the honor that comes from God alone. You're willing to settle for that. You're satisfied with surrounding yourself by those that will greet you and show the respect that you feel that you're due because of my great spirituality. They recognize that I'm spiritual. They recognize that I'm somebody. You're my friend. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them." I want us to notice the 45th verse here. "Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also." I don't know entirely without being there the inflection or the tone of voice with which he said it. But as Jesus was speaking unto the Pharisees and just laying open the hypocrisy, the things that were inside the Pharisees, he nailed it right on the head. He knew the manner of persons they were. And he laid it open and exposed it by the truth, by his love and mercy to them. This lawyer that was over here, a lawyer being one that is well versed in the law, that knew the law of the Old Testament, that knew the requirements of the Old Testament. I almost see in this, or I wonder if his mindset wasn't, "Master, be careful now. You're getting awful close now. By you saying that to them, that's making me look bad as well now. I know you're talking to the Pharisees, but be careful now. You're getting real close." You know, there will be perhaps places and times in every one of our lives that the Word of God gets very close to us. That the Word of God will expose some places in my life. It's not for me to retaliate against the Lord, to buck up against it, to resist it, to buck up against the Word of God. Jesus went on down and he spoke also then to the lawyers. But it is for us to say, "Yes, Lord, that's me." 10th chapter here of Luke, 25th verse, speaks of another lawyer. "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou?" 28th verse, "Thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live." But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" You notice the heart set, the mindset, the heart that he had here towards Jesus. His reasoning with him wasn't to try to find out the truth. It was to try to justify himself. I want to go. It's a dangerous mindset for us to have. Anytime we go to the Word of God, or we go with, maybe it's a brother or a sister,
and say, I know there's something in my life. I know that I've got an attitude here. I know this is the way I'm reacting to something here, but let me show you why this is okay. Let me show you why it's all right. I know I've got sin in my life, but let me point you to a scripture that I think justifies where I am. It's so easy for us to justify ourselves, to think of ourselves in a more positive light than what we really are. Remember what Jesus said unto the Laodiceans? You think that you're rich and increased with goods, and you don't have need of anything. That's what you want to believe about yourself. But you don't realize that you're naked and blind and poor and miserable. Whom I love, he said, I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Go and buy eye salve. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. The Lord, because of His love, is willing to show us who we really are. Blessed is He. Scriptures, Jesus spoke unto, believe it was the Pharisees when some of them were walking away, as we referred to. Blessed is he that is not offended because of me. Revelation 1 and 3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed are we because of the friendship of God. Blessed are we because He was willing to show Himself a friend to us. A friend that loveth at all times. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that loves me so much that He wants the very best for me. And He's willing to inflict something sometimes, a pain or of hardship or a difficult place. My child, I love you. Let me rip this thing off. It'll hurt for a little bit. But guess what? I'm going to apply healing. I'm going to apply a balm to it. I'm going to heal that place in your life that's been covered up, that's been causing and festering and causing problems and causing you to stumble and causing you to trip. I want to get down to the very root of the matter, clear it up, clear the infection out, and heal that place of our lives. He is a great friend, folks. A friend that loves us as no other friend could. So Lord, help me to always realize what that friendship is, what it means and what it'll do to me. Help me, Lord, that I be blessed because I hear the words that You speak to me. Not only to hear it, to have ears to hear, Lord, help me to do it that I might live. Peter said, Thou, Lord, hast the words of eternal life. You pray for me. Amen.